We come to that great chapter, chapter 8 of Romans. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to that? On January 6, 1941, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed Congress on the state of war in Europe. Much of what he said that day has been forgotten today. But at the close of his address, he said that he looked forward to a world founded upon four essentials of human freedoms. He named them the freedom of speech, the freedom of worship, the freedom of want, the freedom from fear. These words that President Roosevelt actually spoke are still remembered even though their ideals have not yet been realized anywhere in the world today. But yet we know that one day Jesus Christ is going to come and there is going to be true peace in the world. There is going to be true peace. In Romans 8, we come to that chapter, what we call not only the Christian's Declaration of Freedom, for in it Paul declares the four spiritual freedoms that we can enjoy because of our union with Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. In the book of Romans, 19 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned. We're coming out of chapter 7, where Paul was struggling between the flesh and the spirit. And now in chapter 8, he's been delivered from the flesh. He's been actually set free by the Holy Spirit. And he's going to find out that we can live a life of victory in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, Paul said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." There is liberty where the power of the Holy Spirit is. And you know, it's amazing because Paul came to the conclusion in chapter 7 that the law is spiritual and not physical. But Paul's conclusion of himself said that he found out that he was carnal and not spiritual. He was carnal and not spiritual. And now Paul the apostle is going to be dealing with our freedom from judgment because as a child of God, I am no longer condemned. No more condemnation in my life. Look what he says beginning with chapter 8 verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, in the original manuscript of the Greek letters when Paul wrote in the Greek, "who did not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit" is not in a lot of the manuscripts. They believe that this was added by the translators. But at the same time, when you read the context of the letter, he's saying, "Therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." And he defines it. He's telling you, first of all, that my position now as a child of God is not outside of Christ, but in Christ Jesus. What Paul told us in the book of Ephesians. In the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, Paul is teaching what we are in Jesus Christ for three chapters. Then once we know what we are in Jesus Christ, then in chapter 4, 5, and 6, he teaches you, now that you know who you are, this is now what you are to do in Jesus Christ. And it's good because he teaches us that we don't depend on ourselves. We depend on the Lord. We depend on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So when we talk about condemnation, there is a little problem here that I see. Because a lot of times, not only new believers, but old believers. How many times you and I have been totally condemned by the devil? Totally condemning us. Whenever we fall short or we sin, immediately what does Satan do? He comes in and begins to condemn you. And we know that if I am a child of God and I sin against God, and if I am repentant before God, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the secret of the Christian life. No condemnation. God doesn't condemn anybody. God does not condemn anybody. The only people that will be condemned will be those that do not have Jesus Christ, not the child of God. Think about it for a moment. Think of all the people in the world tonight that do not know Christ. And even though we have modern technology like the internet, we have satellites, we have television, we have radio, we have so much technology today, and it would seem that because of the technology, more people would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which one day they will. But it seems that it's getting less and less where people are coming to really know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior of their life. And yet, we know that in the book of Revelation, in chapter 14, he tells us that there is going to be an angel in the tribulation period, the last 7 years of world history. There will be one angel that will be flying around the earth, and he will proclaim the everlasting gospel. He is going to preach the gospel to everyone. Everyone will know the truth about God. Now, whether they receive it or not, that's going to be the thing to see, because the Bible says that during the tribulation period, there will be a lot of people that will be condemned, not really saved. And we need to understand tonight that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not religious, but you have a personal relationship with Him, and because of His blood, and because of what He did on Calvary by going and dying on the cross, that we have, because of His resurrection, we have no longer been condemned anymore. We are free. No more condemnation. Yes, the child of God has conviction, not condemnation. You see, let me make a little clearer picture here. You have the cross of Jesus Christ. And the cross of Jesus Christ, like it says back here by this clock. As a child of God, I'm not walking away from the clock. I am walking towards the clock. Why? Because condemnation makes me walk away from the cross of Jesus Christ, and it condemns me, and it makes me feel bad, and it makes me actually feel like I'm not a child of God. That's not what Christ has given to us. He hasn't called us unto wrath, but unto peace. That's why Paul wants to make sure that you and I understand that we are free agents by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that I am no longer living a life under sin, because I am not condemned any longer, but I am not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit's power. I am being ruled now by a higher power than I was before. When I was in the world, and I was carnal, and I was a natural man, I didn't care about God. I did what I pleased to please my fleshly appetites and desires of the flesh, but not so as a child of God. There is no possible way that a true child of God can continue in sin and say that he is not condemned. No possible way. A real child of God has conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is living in my heart. It's the little alarm that warns me every time I try to sin against God. Or every time that sin begins to enter into my life, the Holy Spirit alarm goes off and gives me, because it has sensors, and through those sensors, He tells me, look, you can do what's right or you can do what's wrong. You have to make the choice. The Holy Spirit is not going to make the choice for you. The Holy Spirit is going to warn you, but you got to make the choice. What do you want to do? Do you want to obey or do you want to disobey? Do you want to walk in the Holy Spirit, or do you want to walk in carnality and in the flesh and be condemned, or do you want to be free by the liberty of the Holy Spirit that He gives to you? That's what Paul is talking about. Therefore now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit. You see, if one can submit himself to the control of the Holy Spirit, then one can live victorious life in Jesus Christ. That's the only way to do it. It's a life of the big O, obedience. That's what I call it. Obedience is the key. None of us have to give in to sin anymore. We're not perfect. We're sinlessness. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about choices that we make through the will that God has given to us to make the choice to be right or to be wrong, to be in the light or to be in darkness. That's why Paul again declares it, therefore now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because who's the one that condemns me all the time? It is Satan. Satan is the condemner. Why? Because he's already been condemned. And he wants to condemn you. Look what else he says in verse 2. The law cannot claim you. In verse 2 he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice that statement. This is such an incredible chapter. Notice that here, the news that he's bringing to us is that the Holy Spirit now is in control of my life through Jesus Christ. It is no longer I who controls myself and my desires. It is the Holy Spirit now that is checking everything in my life by the will of God. And the way it happens is that this new law that God is talking about, that is working within me, it's in my heart. In my heart. And yet the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, what? That the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, have known your hearts. But yet God has given me a new heart and a new mind, you see, and a new walk. In Jesus Christ, new speech. Everything's new in my life. That's why Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new person, and all things are passed away, and behold, all things are brand new. Brand new. We're not condemned anymore. We're free from the law of God. Because we are walking by the Holy Spirit, which is working in my life. And check this out. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin. And then what was I free from? I'm free from sin. I'm free. Why? Because I have put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ, period. That's what makes me free. I am no longer going to die and go to hell. Or go to the lake of fire. No, when I die, I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Because I have made a choice not to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit's power. That's what Paul proclaims here. Verse 3. The law cannot condemn you any longer if you're a child of God. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, and He condemned sin in the flesh. Now look at this. Look how much God has done for you, for me, through His one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Think about it for a moment. Here, he's talking how because I have violated the law by living a life of the flesh, because the Mosaic law could not save me, but the Mosaic law condemned me. Why? Because it actually pointed to my sin and it made me guilty before God, and it pointed to Jesus Christ. I could never become righteous by the law of God. But the only way that I could become, notice, righteous before God is when I repent and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and by putting my trust and faith in Him, now I become righteous, not my righteousness, but His righteousness is in me. And I become free. Free to serve Him, to love Him, to worship Him. And then he tells you, Paul the Apostle here, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did it by sending His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. What does that mean? That when Jesus Christ came from all eternity, and He was born as a little baby, and He grew up, and he ministered and he preached and he healed and he actually taught the word of God. And then he was condemned and he was crucified. And then he died on the cross. And when he resurrected from the dead, right before he resurrected, what did he do? He took upon himself every one of our sins. Every one of our sins. Jesus Christ took it upon himself. That's what he's telling you. God did it by sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you and I would go to hell. Thank God for Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. Verse 4. The law cannot control you. Notice what Paul says here. Here he's going to be talking about the fulfillment, not only of what Jesus Christ has done, but the only way that it can be fulfilled is through Jesus and not through the law. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but here it is, according to the Holy Spirit. That is, the indwelling Holy Spirit enables you and me to walk in obedience to God's will. That's what he's talking about here. That we are able to walk by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enables me to walk a life of obedience to actually fulfill God's divine will for my life as I submit to him completely. I don't submit myself to the flesh. If I do, I'm going to fall. I'm going to walk in the flesh. So we have a choice. We have a will to say yes, to say no, to do what's right or to do what's not right. Look again, verse 5. Now he's going to be talking about the freedom from defeat. No obligations here. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, here it is. He's going to describe it for you. Those that are carnal, what are they doing? They're living according to the flesh. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God. You see, the natural man and what? The spiritual man. The carnal and the spiritual. There's a difference. The person that is carnal is always thinking carnality, never thinking spiritual. But the one that has received Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior and wants to be in the perfect will of God, what is he going to do? He's going to be reading the Bible. He's going to be praying. He's going to be obeying the Word of God. He is going to try to do every day what is right in the eyes of God. And whenever you fail, immediately he is back into the cross. Why? Because apart from him, I can do nothing. Apart from Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. And I realize that. And this is what Paul is talking about. Paul talks about in verse 5, for those, he's actually talking about those that are living in the appetites of the flesh. In the appetites of the flesh. But then at the same time, he's talking about those who are pleasing God and have become obedient to the word of God through faith in Jesus Christ. They realize that there is nothing good in them. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't even be here. There is no obligation to the old nature anymore. The believer can have victory tonight in Jesus Christ. Because Paul here in this section, Paul describes the life and the difference between those that are walking in the flesh and those that are walking in the Spirit. And he is encouraging people to live in the highest value, which is the Holy Spirit, not in the lowest plane, which is the flesh. If you really want to be happy, and you want to have joy, and you want to have peace, and you want to enjoy all the benefits of God, then you need to walk in the Holy Spirit's power. That's what Paul proclaims here in chapter 8. Because look what he says in verse 6. This is pretty incredible. Look what he says. For to be carnally minded is death. You see? As long as you are carnal, you are dead. You can't enjoy the life of Christ. To be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace with God. You see the difference between the carnal and the spiritual people? Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You see, the carnal mind doesn't like God, doesn't like the things about God. You see? You've talked to people when you're actually talking about spiritual things, and they go, hey, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this. And they want to talk about carnality, stupidity. It's carnal people. They talk about stupid things. Usually about themselves and what they want to do with themselves. But if you're really around people that are spiritual, you know, sometimes people, you know, and I'm not saying I'm spiritual, okay? So don't get me wrong. But what I was going to give an illustration. When Dale and myself get together, we've known each other since we were 12 years old, Joe Salias and a bunch of other guys. People always ask us, what do you guys talk about when you're always together? Well, our old girlfriends, no, I'm just kidding you. We talk about the Lord. Seriously. I mean, people get blown away. You mean, no, there's no way we do. We talk about how good God is to us, man, and what He's done in our lives. And usually when you're around people and you hear them talking, you know, when they open their mouth, you know where they're at spiritually or not. Because they're either going to talk about the things of the Lord or they're going to talk about themselves and their carnality. You know, what they're doing on the weekends. And how they don't enjoy really going to church and hearing the word of God. But man, they enjoy going out to the, you know, the clubs and drinking and partying and talking dirty jokes and all that stuff. That's a carnal mind. And it's what? It's enmity against God. God is not pleased with that. God is only pleased with those that are walking according to the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. You see, it can never, ever be at peace with God when you are carnal. No possible way. Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Underline that. No one can ever please God if you're going to be carnal. No way. This is a pretty incredible statement here. It's a statement of integrity. And it's a statement that tells you exactly what God desires. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't care what they do. They'll never be able to please God. Verse 9. But you, Christians, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. Notice how he makes the distinction here. The distinction of what? Being religious and being born again of the Holy Spirit through regeneration. Let me stop for a moment here because this is real important. The only way that a person can have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him, and he keeps saying the word in you, which speaks of our position in Christ, is when the Holy Spirit, I told you there are three prepositions, with, in, and upon. The Holy Spirit is with you before you're a child of God, when the Holy Spirit begins to what? To convict you because somebody's praying for you or somebody witnessed to you. And the Holy Spirit begins to bring conviction, not condemnation, conviction to your life. Once the Holy Spirit begins to work with me in my heart and my mind, and I begin to get convicted, and I say, okay, Lord, I surrender. I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. And I pray the prayer, and I become regenerated or born again of the Holy Spirit. As I invite the Holy Spirit into my life, I invite Jesus Christ into my life. What happens? The Holy Spirit now is no longer with me, but now He's within. He's within me now. He's living in my heart now. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The experience of the Holy Spirit to give me power to witness, to overcome the devil and the world and the flesh, and not to walk in the flesh, but to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. As I am baptized with the Holy Spirit, of course, and the greatest thing of that is love that God gives to my life. Love is the key to that. But you see, think on the other side, where he says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he's not of his. That means you're not a son, you're not a daughter of God. Every person that you know tonight, whether it be your mother or father, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, whoever it may be, if they're not Christians, they're not sons and daughters of God. And they're on their way to hell. Unless they repent. Paul is making it very clear here. I don't care how many people go to church or how many candles they light or how many rosaries they pray. Or they can be Buddhist or they can be, you know, in the Krishna movement, whatever it may be. No religion can ever get you to go to heaven unless you come through the bridge, and that bridge builder is Jesus Christ, period. He's the only one. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior of your life, and remember, it's not just receiving Him, but it's receiving Him and living for Him and looking to eternity. This world is going to pass away one day. And as we grow and we mature in Jesus Christ, and as we get older in the Lord, instead of looking at this world, we're looking at heaven. Why? Because we know that in heaven, it's eternity. And while we are here on this world, it's all temporal things. They're all going to burn. The only thing that will last is what you do for Jesus Christ, period. That's it. Nothing else. So Paul wants to make sure you understand. Those that are born again, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, if anybody does not have the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Verse 10. Look what else. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Because I, by faith, have received His love, grace, and mercy, and fully repented, then I have become righteous. What? He's given me His righteousness. And so now I am right before God. You see how cool that is? Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Notice what he says here. Notice, I don't have to live and be in subjection to sin, but I can live a victorious life in Jesus Christ because of the divine power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't have to live like that anymore. I have a will, and I can make choices to obey or to disobey. As long as I submit to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be okay. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, speaking to Christians, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Mark that. That's eternal death. Paul tells you here, you will go to hell. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Notice what he says. Notice what happens when I keep the Holy Spirit a priority in my life, and I reckon the old man to be dead, and I crucify the flesh, then I have life in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. But when I feed my flesh and I don't crucify it and I don't deny it and I don't submit myself to the power of God but to the power of the flesh, then what am I going to do? I'm going to be a carnal person, not a spiritual person. And that brings forth death, Paul says. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit of God you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Holy Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice that. The Holy Spirit is going to what? Lead you. This word lead in the Greek is a pretty interesting word. It means that He's giving you direction and also protecting you at the same time. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you, guide you, and is going to protect you divinely. That's what He means there in the Greek. For as many as are led or are directed, are protected by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The sons of God. You notice that here in the New Testament, the sons of God are not angels, but it's the Church of Jesus Christ, believers. in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, when actually he's talking about the days of Noah, he talks about the sons of God. In the book of Job, he talks about the sons of God that came and appeared before God day and night. But in the Old Testament, the sons of God are angelic beings. But in the New Testament, the sons of God is in reference to you and to me as believers born again of the Holy Spirit of God. No longer a reference to angels, but to us, the church of Jesus Christ. Then look what else he says. Verse 15. For you did not receive, notice, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Notice what he's saying here. That is the bondage of what? The bondage of the flesh. You came out of the flesh, you don't want to go back to the flesh. We used to be in bondage when we were in Egypt, in the world. Our life was miserable, man. It was painful. It was destroying us. But now that we've come back to Jesus Christ and we've accepted him, notice that you have now received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We are now children of God, and we can call God our Father. And Abba, Father is a prayer before God. Literally, it's the Aramaic word, which is speaking of daddy or father, as we come before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a word used by a child calling his father. He wants us to call him daddy, father, when we pray before him continually. Because we are humbling ourselves before him. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit makes witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. You see, I am assured of my salvation. I know that I am a child of God. I know that I am going to heaven. I have no doubts in my mind that when I accepted Jesus Christ, I became a child of God, and I have not any doubts in my mind that I will ever go to hell. I am going to heaven. Why? Because I'm going to try to walk according to the Holy Spirit all the days of my life. Yes, I'm going to trip, I'm going to fall, but I'm going to get back up. You see? But I'm not going to submit and give myself to the body ruling over my life, because then that's death. But the Spirit of God empowers us and makes us rule in the sight of the Spirit. Then again, he says it in verse 16. Notice again, God meets men how? By a spiritual relationship. John 4:24 says what? Those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the word truth there means those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in reality. God has to be real in my life. We are children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, and if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. Notice how wonderful here. How God one day, because we suffer, and because we do have pain, you know, all these diseases, and all the problems and situations that every child of God has to go through. Yet we're not like the world. You know, you go around and you look at hospitals and you go to these rest homes and you see so many people just kind of waiting to die without any hope. But how wonderful and how beautiful it is if you have a grandmother or a grandfather or a mother or father that are children of God and they're waiting to die. What a difference there is in peace in their lives because they're looking for the Lord to come to get them. That's why anytime a child of God is going to die, he's not afraid. I don't know if you're afraid of death. I'm not. I welcome death. Whenever they want to come, hey, let's go. Take a walk. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. But a lot of times people are so afraid to die. And I can understand, you know, you don't want to leave your mother or father or your children or your grandchildren. Because we're humans. But think how much better it is the moment you die, you get a body that is glorified. No more pain. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. We will be with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And of course, to the child of God, according to Paul the Apostle, in speaking to the actual Thessalonican church, he says, look, you guys, there are some of you, believe it or not, that are never going to taste death. The Lord Jesus Christ, and is before the second coming he comes, he is going to come at the rapture of the church. And some of you that will be, actually some will already have died. But we which remain and remain alive at the coming of the Lord shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Did you know that there is a generation right now that is actually living? They will never ever see death. That's right. I'm not lying to you. There are going to be people in this room, if the Lord doesn't tarry any longer, if the Lord is going to come back in this generation, according to Paul and according to Jesus, there is a generation that will not taste death. We are going to be transferred to heaven. We're going to be glorified in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on that day when it really happens? Some people will be working, some will be flying. Some will be going by train. Some will be at their homes. In some parts of the world, it'll be morning. Some parts of the morning, it'll be evening. And there'll be different times, you know, throughout the world. And all of a sudden, if we're in America, let's say, and it's actually 12 o'clock noon, and the trumpet sounds, every child of God in China, in India, in Europe, in South America, in Mexico, the United States, in the Pacific Ocean, all of us in the South Pacific, everybody that's a believer will be actually taken to heaven. And there's going to be planes crashing, cars crashing, buses, trains, all these chaos going to be on. And the Bible says they're not going to be understanding what's going on, but all of a sudden, probably because of the lies and people talking about spaceships and you know all these aliens coming to Earth, which there are none, I believe. It's all hogwash, I believe. Because God created only us in this world, and the world to come, the Bible says, we're going to be just like him. So think about this. All the lies that will come, and yet those husbands and wives and children, they will come home, they were non-believers, and the believers are gone, and they're going to look at their mother and father or son or daughter, and they're going to be missing. And they're going to hear the news, and they're going to hear that millions of people on the earth have disappeared. They've been glorified. They've been transferred to heaven. Can you imagine what kind of a day that's going to be? Imagine coming on a Wednesday night to Calvary Chapel and there's only 10 of you here. Could you imagine? Or in a service like this, imagine the trumpet blowing, boom. And what about if you were left behind? Oh no. What happened? You can't go up. Gravity won't let you go up. But imagine, and then what does the Bible say? There are going to be people literally trying to kill themselves to get to heaven. And in the book of Revelation, it says there are going to be people in the last 7 years of world history where they'll literally take a gun and they'll try to blow their brains off. And what will happen? Death will flee from a man. They won't be able to die for 5 months. For 5 months. The spirit will not depart from the body. Imagine that is torture. Imagine being entrapped in your body after you blow your head off and your spirit will not depart from your body. But not so for the child of God. Imagine we're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ and we're going to be up there partying. We're going to be, that's right, that's what the Bible says. We're going to go to the supper of the Lamb. We're going to be up there eating, which man, you know, a lot of people like eating. We're going to be eating. No calories in heaven. You can eat all you want. It's going to be so cool. And imagine sitting there at the Bema Seat of Christ and then going to the Supper of the Lamb, and there's going to be this, I mean, in my mind, I can't even picture it, but imagine the biggest table you have ever seen in your life. And all of us sitting there and the Lord serving us. Man, I can hardly wait. You're going to look way down at the, hey, Dale, what's up? Hey, you got curly hair now. In heaven. That's why he wants to go to heaven. But imagine all the things that we have to go through. And yet to us, it's nothing. Why? Because when we have problems, when we have situations, hey, we know the Lord is in it. We don't trust in man, we trust in the Lord. And we know that God is going to deliver us. God is going to deliver us. He's going to glorify us together with himself. And imagine how cool that's going to be. Getting to heaven 2,000 years later, when Peter, James, and John, and every Old Testament saint will be there. And you would have to think, well, let me see, which one's Noah, which one's Abraham, Isaac? You will know even as he is known. You're going to walk up, hey, Abraham, what's the man? My name is Raul Reed. No, you have a new name. You see? You're going to walk up and say, hey, how are you doing? And you're going to know who they are. You won't have to have introductions in heaven. We shall be known even as he is known. But the greatest thing to me when I read the book of Revelation in chapter 4, when John is actually going up to heaven and there's a door in heaven. And as he walks through that door, what does he see? The first thing he sees is the throne of God. And there's actually the throne of God. And there's a rainbow behind the throne of God. Imagine what it's going to be like to see Jesus in all his brilliance. To me, that is incredible. You haven't seen nothing yet. Nothing yet. I always trip out thinking, imagine when you're laying there getting ready to die, the moment you close your eyes and you take your last breath and your chest caves in and the Spirit comes out, you're instantly in the presence of the Lord. That's it. It's over. And I always think, I wonder if you can see yourself coming out of your body and everybody crying for you, saying, hey, don't cry for me, cry for yourselves, I'm leaving. Imagine that, how cool that's going to be. But that's the hope that we have. Don't be afraid to die. I've heard testimonies when I was going to the hospitals, when a Christian was dying, and they were sitting there, and they literally saw angels around their bed waiting for them to take them home. They said, they're here for me. And you watch them take their last breath, and they're departing to be with the presence of the Lord. But I also have been with non-believers. And they're screaming and yelling, and some of them have even screamed that their feet were burning even before they got to hell. What a difference in death between the righteous and the wicked. May God help us to understand, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's you and me. Father, we come before you as we pick up next week, Father, in this great chapter, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would continue to teach us, to lead us, to guide us into all truth. And Father, this is a long chapter, but there's so much for us, Lord. We pray, God, that in chapter 8, Father, in the next couple of weeks, you would teach us. You would lead us, Father. So by the time we get to chapter 12, Father, application, we already know what we are in Jesus Christ, and now we can begin to apply the principles of faith. And Father, what we're supposed to be doing as children of the light. Father, I don't know who's here this evening, Father. But Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that whoever is here tonight that doesn't know you, God, that you would touch their hearts. And Lord, that they would receive your love and grace and mercy and forgiveness tonight as they submit their lives to you completely, God. I don't know who's here tonight, young or old, male, female, mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, grandfather, grandmother, whoever you may be. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've heard tonight about the natural man, the spiritual man. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to understand, first of all, that you have sinned against God. God wants to forgive you for your sins if you repent in your heart, if you're sorry. Then you confess your sins to Him. Then by faith, you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and you ask Him to come into your heart and He'll come in and He'll dwell in you. He'll write your name in the book of life. And He will give you eternal life tonight if you want it.